Do you like horror movies? Do you like cocktails? Do you like cocktails while you watch horror movies?
Oh boy, do we have a surprise for you. Cocktails from the Crypt is finally here. You can get a copy of our new recipe book, 60 Terrifying Concoctions, inspired by your favorite horror movies, right now, wherever books are sold.
Learn how to make the Drag Mai Tai to Hell, the Negroni Nomicon.
Surprise your friends with a Jason X-inspired slushie.
Get sloshed drinking a Texas Chainsaw Margarita, or six.
And why not blow your brains at the back of your head with the Killbot Kamikaze? Thank you. Have a nice day.
You can learn how to drink. You can learn how to make these drinks and more in Cocktails from the Crypt, available wherever books are sold, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, this infomercial bit has been really fun, but seriously, one, thank you so much to everybody who has pre-ordered a copy of Cocktails from the Crypt. And if you are looking for a gift for the horror person in your life and you have no idea what else to get them, Cocktails from the Crypt is here to help them punch up every Friday movie night and turn it into a graveyard smash.
Plus, the cover's embossed and it looks great on your coffee table.
No, oh, Kim's still stuck in infomercial land, guys. I'm sorry. I think she's gone forever.
It's purple.
You can get Cocktails from the Crypt right now, wherever books are sold. Or you can head over to nofspodcast.com/go. There's links for everything.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife. But it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
And this week, we're obsessing over some more movies that came out in 2024. We recently did our top 10 horror movies of the year. And we're back.
We got more.
We're back to talk about our honorable mentions, movies that just almost made it in the top 10, but are still, you know, some of our favorites of the year.
And honestly, this is the list to check out because I think a lot of people are putting the same movies on their top 10 list.
Yeah.
If you're looking for stuff that landed this year that's good, that you didn't hear a ton about, I feel like this is the episode for you.
I feel like Mads was also that pick for us in the top 10.
I think we have a good... We always tend to have a good variety on our top 10 lists. I'm always pretty proud of our top 10 lists for like having, you know, like the big hits of the year and then also like some weird side picks. But the honorable mentions is where you find the fun stuff, the stuff that you want to watch on a Friday night and you don't want to talk about for 4 hours afterwards. That's what the honorable mentions list is.
I agree with you. I find sometimes when I'm talking to other people about movies they liked that didn't quite make their top 10, those are like, oh, this one just took too hard of a swing for me. It got a little too weird. I'm like, well, I got to check that one.
Well, that one's going on my watch.
Yeah, that one might be in my top five. You know, like that's exactly how it goes. And there are some movies here in the honorable mentions and some short films that could just have easily been in the top 10. Like some of these picks are also really great and we really recommend them.
Yeah, I have to say that my honorable mentions list is considerably shorter from our episode, our top 10 episode, because half my honorable mentions were on your top 10 list. So
I mean,
it's just
same as
all right, well, Quiet Place Part 1 was great according to John, good according to me, because it was on the honorable mentions, and The Vortilac was also on my honorable mentions.
These are great honorable mentions.
You heckin' loved it,
yeah,
so we've already talked about it. It's already recommended.
I mean, same goes for me. I've got It's What's Inside, Coffee Table, and Abigail, like, really coming in hot.
I love that we're like, Coffee Table, this is the feel-good list of the year.
Yeah.
Check out Coffee Table, especially if you have
It's perfect for the holidays.
Watch it with your family. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Don't. Please don't do that. So, John, the year is coming to a close. Mm. We've had another fine year of horror films.
I do think a pretty good year of horror films.
And other films, which will not be mentioned on this podcast, for we have not seen them. Look, name two non-horror movies you saw this year that came out this year.
That are also on my favorites of 2024. Thelma. That movie about that old lady who got scammed.
Oh, that was a cute movie.
Goes to pull a gun on Malcolm McDowell.
Well, a crime. That's... Yeah.
Okay, sure. And then also, oh God, what else? Oh, surely there's something. We watched a lot of stand-up comedy. How about that?
No, that does not count.
No, I don't think I watched anything that wasn't horror, other than maybe Heavier Trip, which is also heavy metal and kind of gory. The Count of Monte Cristo, also crime. These are all genre picks. It's all I watch. Rebel Ridge. There's the real answer.
What was Rebel Ridge?
That's that kind of Rambo movie from Jeremy Saulnier.
Nope, already forgotten it.
You forgot it?
Yeah.
Good movie. Really good movie.
Was it a Netflix movie?
Yeah. And it's him versus the cops. Like, he's going to bail out his brother. Cops take the money.
No, it's gone.
Wow. This was maybe 4 weeks ago.
Completely gone. We replaced it with that Christmas airport movie we just watched.
That one wasn't too bad.
I didn't like it.
God damn it. Was there a question you asked me a minute ago?
I don't remember.
All right.
Let's talk about our honorable mentions for 2024.
All right, I'm going to talk about this. This was an early one. This one went on the list very
early. I'm going to talk about that Madeline Ashton.
Jesus, every time.
Go ahead.
This was a pick that went on the list very early, and I know is also on yours because I spied your phone. And I think now.
Whoa, cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater.
And now I think is a good time to talk about Frogman.
Yeah, that is on my list.
Because Frogman fucks.
Just a fun found footage movie. Like,
yeah.
What else can you say? It's everything you want out of a cryptid found footage. Let's go find it.
They did such a good job of making Frogman a real cryptid. There's a whole gift shop they go to, and it's full of little tchotchkes.
They did a great job of emulating, you know, in the Blair Witch Project when they talk to the townsfolk.
Yeah.
And everybody has all these legends of what the Blair Witch Project is. Like, oh, it's Rustin Parr. It's Mary Brown. It's all these other things. They really nailed that in Frogman with this, like, oh, no, there's a whole town that is like a fan club of Frogman. Mm-hmm. Like, the Frogman merch was on point in this movie.
Absolutely insane. It's also sort of like a nesting egg doll kind of movie where it's like found footage in found footage in found footage. And kudos to the filmmakers. The entire thing shot on Betamax.
Oh, that's dope.
Like, actually, the same technology that they would have used for the cryptid video at the beginning of the movie is the same stuff they shot on for the majority of the film.
Oh, fun. It honestly feels like, just because there's been a rise of the VHS films, they've been putting out in, like, a new one every year.
Yeah.
It feels like this was a VHS segment that went on to have its own feature film.
Hell yeah.
Doesn't it?
I'm totally with you. Well, Anthony Cousins.
Like, what about that... That sewer rat.
Ratma?
Yeah, like,
that's
I feel
the first
like,
one I thought
I feel
of.
Like Frogman and Ratma are in the same universe.
Oh, yeah, we need the crossover for sure.
Frogman versus Ratma?
Yeah, well, Anthony Cousins, the director of Frogman, also did, like, the goopy, goriest sequences in Scare Package 1 and 2.
Hmm.
Like, do you remember that one?
Oh, I do remember that one.
Yeah, you remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely coming from a horror anthology background at the very least. What else you got on your list?
Okay, so I'm going to go with one that was kind of like not an underrated pick. A lot of people saw this. Mm-hmm. M. Night Shyamalan's Trap.
Okay. I don't know if that made my honorable mention. I really liked it. I mean, so...
Did you just forget to put it on there?
I have a list on Letterboxd called 2024 Favorites. And whenever I see a movie that I like, I just put it on that list. It's on the list. But when I was putting together my shorter list for the episode, it didn't quite make the
That's
top 15.
That's a real glowing recommendation.
I'm sorry, Mr. Shyamalan. You and your family had a lot of wins this year. Just take it.
Yeah, this is a Shyamalan family project.
Uh-huh.
His daughter plays, what is her name? Raven?
Raven.
Yeah, Raven.
Lady
who is,
Raven.
Who is the pop star at the center of the film. Josh Hartnett is a serial killer who is taking his daughter to a concert, but then he discovers it's a trap because they found part of a ticket stub in...
It's a lot.
in, like, the death room of one of his houses. And they were like, he's going to be at that concert because he bought tickets, so we're setting it up as a trap, and it's locked. down.
But if only, like, only a fraction of the movie is at the concert.
That is why it made my honorable mentions and not my top 10. Because we leave the concert like an hour in. I was like, whoa, we're only supposed to be at the concert. What's happening?
Yeah.
And then Lady Raven becomes like the lead protagonist and she must save everyone from the serial killer.
Yeah.
But it was a fun movie overall.
I had a great time.
Josh Hartnett was great in it.
Josh Hartnett was awesome.
I love seeing him in this slightly older, more daring role. He cooks somebody up in a fryer. He's doing some devious stuff. He's got a big evil monologue at the end that's pretty good.
And if we're lucky, there'll probably be two more movies and it'll be a convoluted universe.
Do you think so? I don't think so. I don't know if there's anything else here.
I don't think so either. I do like the end of the movie. It kind of leaves it open for like maybe more if we want.
Because he dug like a secret hole in the house and he escaped.
No, that was also three quarters of the way through the movie.
Oh, shit.
No, there's just implications.
Oh, yeah, because there was that whole thing in the car with the merch.
That's three quarters of the way through the movie.
This movie is way longer than it needed to be. But it was fun. Nonetheless,
I enjoyed it. Fun is definitely the best way to describe it. I think we would be remiss if we didn't put Alien Romulus on the list.
Alien Romulus is on my list.
Purely for the performances and the practical effects,
and just like a room full of face huggers. How terrifying is that?
Yeah,
that's a video game sequence I would not want to be a part of, even if I was, you know, fourth wall removed with a remote control. I don't want to be in a room of face huggers. At all.
Yeah, Kim doesn't play video games. She just makes me play them and watches.
See, I have a fifth level of removal. It's called watching.
After this, you're like, I watch it in a mirror that is positioned near another mirror that looks upon the TV.
And like that, I have the Egyptian mirror set up to light up the room, but it's so I can watch the screen with a very, very tiny vantage point.
You're crazy. Yeah, well, David Johnson, who plays Andy in the movie, fucking kills it.
So good. The line delivery when they're in the facehugger room and he's like, run. so good. Oscar winning moment.
It's pretty great. I mean they do him dirty a little bit. I think anybody listening to this has probably already
seen. He has
seen
a lot
Alien
of programming
Romulus.
Changes.
The programming changes, I think, are awesome. I think I love how he gets an upgrade and like his speech impediment disappears and he's no longer doing dumb dad jokes. And he's just like a little more calculated and evil. But like we bring in the robot, the android from the original Alien, which I do not appreciate. We've talked about it a bunch. I think it's a sticking point for a lot of people.
We have to protect dead people. We really do. Because we're at a weird point in technology and also with capitalism where they are going to squeeze every bit of juice out of IP properties, including the corpses of the actors that starred in them.
Well, I think there are contracts being written now where they're including that, so that way at least the family is getting paid for it. But like, I can't imagine they have too much creative control over it.
That's fine and dandy. That's great. But I don't like it. Yeah. I just don't like it. Technology will never be good enough that it doesn't stick out like a sore thumb because your brain knows that person is dead.
That's it didn't stop us from appreciating Queen of the Damned, Kim.
Oh, well, they used her brother in that.
Okay, well, anyway, incredible special effects in this movie. Like, surprise, surprise, looked wicked. Loved how practical they kept it. Loved how weird it got at the end. I'm still holding hard to the fact that it gets even weirder and they just don't want to let us... they don't want to show us the uncut version of Alien Romulus that gets even stranger with that alien baby at the end.
We're saying baby in soft terms.
Yeah, no, he looks like the giant monster from It Follows. It just like comes creeping up behind her.
It's the creature from the end of Wreck is what it is.
Yeah, it looks great.
I also just like the premise of it. We went into it. Yeah. I didn't really know anything about it. And you know, I'm not a huge fan of prequels and requels and all of that stuff. So going into it and finding out that we see more of the universe and they're going up to this abandoned junk ship.
To escape.
And then everything goes down on this ship and we're kind of like ticking clock, this ship is going to explode or like go into the rings of Saturn or whatever it was.
I mean, you were right. It was going to explode, yeah.
Was great.
Yeah.
Fun premise.
Great setup. Brings us back to the sort of like rough and tumble gearheads that are just, you know, miners in space. Basically.
And that's what was great about the original Alien. We were seeing this future life of the average Joe. Like, yeah. These weren't all like super scientists coming to like, you know, investigate alien DNA. They were just like a cruise ship who were like, oh, we heard this fucking beacon. We got to go check
right?
it out.
Yeah, you,
as
the
rules
entire
of
time,
space law.
Yaphet Kotto and Harry Dean Stanton are just like, we want our full share, guys. We're not going to do any more goddamn work unless we get paid. Like, there's a whole lot of like union talk in it. Yeah, no, it was a fun one. I've definitely seen that show up on a lot of people's top 10. People liked it a little bit more than we did, but it suffers from the prequelitis, which is a death killer for the both of us. Death killer? It's not.
You can make up words here.
Yeah,
I'll allow it.
It's a death killer for the both of us.
It's a safe space.
What about Dune 2 and Beetlejuice, Kim? It was a big year for sandworms. Either of those make your honorable mentions?
No.
Yep, that's fine. What do you got?
Actually, Beetlejuice wasn't bad. It was better than I expected. I very much hold the original Beetlejuice near and dear to my heart. Uh-huh. So I was very protective over my memories.
Yeah.
And so like I saw it, but I didn't let it in.
It's so weird to go walk into a movie from the same creator of the one you love and say, how dare you, sir? How dare you?
How very dare you bring everyone back? Except for the Maitlands. That was a soft spot.
I heard an argument from some people saying, like, well, ghosts don't age, so we can't bring them back. And you're like, well, motherfucker, Beetlejuice is still in this.
Yeah, Beetlejuice is looking a little rough.
Yeah. What's on your actual honorable mentions?
Okay, this is going to be a controversial pick.
No. Oh.
This is a Blumhouse film.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
I feel like a lot of people just like slighted and moved on.
Yes.
And I'm not.
I was
going to
bring this up before the end of the night. I'm so glad we're here.
Okay, so imaginary.
Yeah.
The imaginary friend teddy bear movie.
Guys.
It's, you know, like we have been with Blumhouse for a while.
Uh-huh.
We know the types of movies they make. They made an AI movie that came out recently that I don't think a lot of people have seen, including us.
What are you going to do?
So like we kind of know their playbook at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Imaginary is fucking fun, is all I'll say.
It truly has maybe my favorite moment of the entire year.
It's, you know, it is what it is. It's like a really run-of-the-mill horror movie that's doing what it's doing, and you're like, yeah, I get it, I know, trauma, childhood, blah, blah, blah.
Imaginary friend, I got a bear. Whatever.
And then it has like this like Sixth Sense reveal in the middle of it.
Skip ahead a little bit if you ever watched Imaginary.
Do we want to spoil it?
We're coming at this from the understanding that people have probably seen it. So yeah, go ahead and skip ahead like 60 seconds if you have not seen Imaginary. But holy shit, the middle of this movie, when we find out that the bear isn't real.
The bear isn't even there. Like, we're like, whoa, she's got an imaginary friend and we're talking to a therapist, la 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 la. And then the bear isn't there the entire time?
Yeah, the therapist is like, what bear? And we go back and watch the footage like, duh! And there's no bear.
They do that like full boosh zoom out.
Oh my God. Astounding. Like high camp masterpiece in that moment. I had genuine thoughts about like, do I put Imaginary in my top 10?
You can't do it. You can't.
Wait. Well, I was like, if anywhere, it's in the number 10 slot, right?
Because there is a level of irony with the enjoyment of it. Like the ending goes a little crazy too. Like we go into this dream universe and it's full like, you know, labyrinth final act where we're in the realm of eternal stairwells.
Yes.
Like the bog of eternal stench, but stairwells.
Mm-hmm.
And there's weird giant evil teddy bears. There's,
turns into like a spider thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of creepy, you know, Coraline mom shit.
I liked it more than Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
I definitely did.
I feel like it's almost the same movie, but goddamn, the balls to have that reveal in the middle, so good.
Yeah, it was like Malignant level.
This is why we liked it.
Goofy.
Yeah.
The balls to be goofy in a horror film, I can appreciate.
Yeah, yeah, especially now. Yeah, I'm so glad you brought it up. And I thought I was going to be the crazy one who brought it up.
Well, go ahead and bring up Corey's because I know you want to.
Hell yeah, I want to talk about Corey's. Guys, you can watch Corey's. If you haven't heard of Corey's, it is a short film that is truly mind-boggling. It's from comedian Connor O'Malley.
Is it even horror? I guess it is.
Kim, is The Shining horror?
It's mind-bending, I'll give you that.
This has really been Connor O'Malley's year.
He's been in everything. He's been popping up in everything.
He's been popping up in everything for a while. He's got a cameo appearance in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. He's in I Think You Should Leave Now. Like, you might remember him in I Think You Should Leave Now as the guy who can't stop honking for the honk if you're horny bumper sticker. And it, like, completely ruins his life. That is kind of Conor O'Malley's whole shtick. He is a acquired taste.
It's like awkward cringe.
But he has put together maybe three of the best pieces of cinema this year alone. One's called Rap World. It was made back in like the early 2000s. They finally compiled it this year. Another is a stand-up.
We're going down
special.
A tangent, just so everybody knows, just so everyone's aware. This is for very select people listening.
This is for 8 people.
Some of you are not gonna vibe with this recommendation
and
at all.
Okay, well, the problem too is that for the 8 people that we're recommending this to, they've already seen it. But if you don't know, he also has a comedy special called Stand Up Solutions, which deals with building, like, it's like a guy who's doing a really shitty pitch meeting for his new AI bot that will do personalized stand-up comedy. I highly recommend it. All of this is available on YouTube. You can watch it for free, including Corey's, which is...
Corey's, I would say, start with. If you vibe with Corey's, then you can visit the rest.
Corey's is a great place to start. You're right. It is like a doppelganger story about a guy who hates his life, and just wants out of his marriage, and he sees somebody who looks exactly like him in Las Vegas, just living it up, like being everything he wants to be.
And it's all on TikTok, you should mention. Like, okay, he's watching this online life that's exactly like, looks exactly like him, but is a completely opposite life to him.
And the videos are great too. It's just like, your life sucks, I'm doing everything you wish you could do. Like, clearly, like, you know, sort of calling
goading
out
him.
This guy. And then he goes to Las Vegas to confront him. And it really nosedives into insanity from there. I cannot recommend this enough. It's like 12 minutes. If you hate it, it's only 12
minutes.
It's
only 12 minutes?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Kim. Did it feel like an eternity
it
when I showed
like,
it to you?
It felt like at least 60.
Cinematic experience.
When you're
the
like,
year.
This is a short film, I was like, is it?
I
feel like it's about as long as Host is.
I was so surprised to see this on your honorable mentions because I thought you hated it.
You just assumed. Like, you just watched it with me in the room. We're like, Kim hated that. She's never going to like anything. I'm going to keep putting on Corey shit with her, though. And we'll just never speak of it.
But I'm very happy to hear that you at least appreciate it.
I can vibe with weird stuff sometimes.
Right on.
I can, especially if it's only 12 minutes going on 60.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit 2, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Another one we have to talk about because, one, I've gotten a lot of messages since our top 10 came out, and they were like, holy shit, and no, I'm not going to say Terrifier 3. We get those two.
Love but the special effects. Not my bag.
Very long. Strange Darling.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, we both really liked. We both vibed with. We saw, when did we see this?
Saw it at a film festival like a year ago.
So that, I think, is a part of the problem is that we saw it a while ago. Mm-hmm. But we saw it before any of the kind of marketing and any of the buzz where I guess some of the twist had been spoiled.
Yeah.
Or at least the twist had been alluded to. And we both got it from like the first few minutes. So like it just didn't.
Even without people telling you that there's a
twist. Like we weren't coming into it looking for a surprise, but we at least should have had some of it because we didn't have any marketing.
Yeah. I really love how this movie's constructed. It was definitely one of my favorites of the year. Kyle Gallner, once again, fucking crushing it.
Great.
Saddens me that I wasn't able to talk about him in the top 10 of the year, because whenever you see him on the credits, you know it's going to be good.
Well, we did have him in the top 10 of the year in Smile 2.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Because some of us had Smile 2 on our top 10 list. Even though he dies real quick in that one.
But yeah, J.T. Molnar, writer-director, fucking did a great job. Like, I love the way that this movie's edited and constructed.
I love when a movie flips back and forth where you're on side with one character and then you flip to the other character, and who you think the protagonist is changes throughout the film. And that itself is kind of a spoiler. But we're here now. Everybody knows.
Everybody's heard it.
You kind of get it from any of the marketing and, like, unfortunately, a lot of the review bites have just been very spoily.
I remember writing the review for this movie and trying to be very careful about it. Like, I wrote the review back in 2023, probably, and I really desperately didn't want to say that there's a big twist or that you don't see something coming.
Because the talk of a twist around this movie kind of gives you too much of a hint.
Exactly. And like, I think I maybe talk about the narrative being like twisting, because like, it's just like, at some point you want to address it a little
bit. It's twisty. Yeah. But it's not a twist.
But yeah, you know, like, there are some great rug pulls. The way that it's built is awesome. It looks amazing. It's shot by Giovanni Ribisi, who's like a fucking cinematographer
now. Yeah, and the color is great.
Yeah, it's all shot on film. Looks wonderful. Was a great movie. Almost made it on the top 10. You know, and what's another year without another VHS movie? VHS Beyond has some really great alien stuff in it. It's obviously, it's a little more sci-fi than horror, but I think all of it's pretty spooky.
Is this one specifically sci-fi? Like, what?
Oh, yeah. That was the idea.
What's this one called?
It's VHS Beyond.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's a couple in here that I think are rock solid, really good stuff, and including one that where people go parachuting.
Oh yeah,
and
that
a
one,
fucking UFO attack.
That one was really good.
Yeah, big fan of that. Always excited to see a new VHS movie. I think I would have been totally fine if they had just stuck with the years. We're like, oh, we're doing 94, we're doing 89, we're doing whatever. I would have been totally fine with that. That would have been A-okay with me. Moving to sci-fi is fun. I don't know what they're going to do next. Have they announced what they're doing next?
I think they have.
Yeah.
They're putting one out like every year.
I'm fine with that. I want them to start doing more like emerging filmmakers.
That's my biggest complaint with the new one is that we're starting to get into like some bigger names in the genre, which is great that they're getting these budgets for these short films. That's fun. And it's great that these filmmakers are getting to kind of like have some creative license and just doing whatever the fuck they want, like alien parachuting, which is fantastic.
Yep.
But I do, yeah, I want it to be, you know, filmmakers that need a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope VHS starts to become like a creative lab, the way Sundance Labs is like making new dramatic Oscar winners. Like, I want VHS to be like where you go if you're gonna be one of the weird ones. We also got two Spider movies.
I was gonna say we would be not doing the horror genre a service this year if we didn't mention that it was like a good year for spiders, mutant spiders, alien spiders, spiders from space. We got both this year.
And we got another spider. Yeah, we got another spider movie on the horizon, and we still have Arachnophobia coming. Maybe, like, it keeps flip flopping around.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay.
Sting and Infested.
What was your favorite?
I don't know. It switches.
They are, but they both offer such different specific needs.
So they're very different, but also very similar. It's like, oh, do you want spiders investing in an apartment building? Choose one, because both offer it.
Well, one has one giant spider, and the other has fucking 1,000 spiders. Some of them teeny tiny, and they go in every orifice of your body. They're both horrible. They're both awful and sticky and gross. And they're both actually pretty funny, but Infested probably has like some of the biggest jump scares.
Yeah, Infested was very good. And Infested, I would say, was scarier.
Yeah.
Sting is more like under your skin and a little silly.
Yeah, Sting's absolutely more fun. I love the characters in it. Mm-hmm. It felt like an episode of Hey Arnold. Like, to me,
yeah.
You know, like a really long episode of Hey Arnold where we've got to deal with this giant spider that's crawling through all the air ducts. Sting was probably my favorite of the two. But yeah, Infested definitely has scarier sequences.
But both really great spooky creature features. If
hell yeah.
If you're looking for some arachni horror.
So overall, what do you think was your favorite movie going experience of the year, whether it was something you watched at home or something you watched in the movie theater?
So this is going to be a rewatch for me. We rewatched Barbarian this year.
Oh, yeah.
After, like, we hadn't revisited this since it came out because we had such a good theater experience. Like, none of the audience we saw it with in the theater was expecting, we weren't expecting it. And so we had a really great experience just with people, like, cringing and screaming and laughing and just really viscerally reacting to the movie. And so when we revisited it this year, I was like, am I going to lose a little bit of it because we got so much out of that experience? Like, is it really as bonkers as I remember? It is. It is as bonkers as I remember, and it played just as well for me when I was, like, alone in my living room.
Yeah, that movie holds up.
It is a good movie.
Yeah.
Even the beginning half, the sort of cat and mouse with the Airbnb gone wrong. And this is a credit, too, to Bill Skarsgård, because he does such a great job of being, like, innocent and suspicious.
Yes, he's perfectly cast, weaponized in this movie, right?
Yes. Yep. You cannot trust him, but also you're like, but you're harmless.
I mean, you're probably harmless.
Yeah, and you also, like, it's also got a kind of, like, romantic strings where you're like, I want them to get together, like, this this happenstance, this, oh, let's share a bottle of wine, but she's rightfully suspicious, and then it turns out that's not the fucking problem at
all. Doesn't matter at all. Yeah.
Irrelevant. First 20 minutes, irrelevant.
Completely holds up. Yeah, I don't know what my favorite movie-going experience of the year was. You know what? We watched Cemetery Man for the first time this year at a movie theater with some friends, and, like, a whole bunch of other people were there.
That was a fun experience.
It was, like, our local repertory.
Because everybody at the end of it was like, what?
Yeah, we were all really kind of confused. If you've seen Cemetery Man before, then you know the exact confusion we had. But, like, the movie just kind of exists in a dreamscape where you're like, none of this is really happening,
yeah, it's,
right?
Yeah, it's just happening.
And then it just ends. And you're like, okay, I guess.
None of the audience was prepared. Like, the lights went on and we were all like, huh?
What? Oh, something's wrong with the movie. We missed 20 minutes somewhere, right? Like, we're missing a whole reel of the movie.
You're like, I think that needed captions.
That was absolutely
what
wild.
Of the glow bugs? What did they mean?
I don't even want to get into it. You know, like, there's a whole bunch of other movies. This is always the problem with doing honorable mentions, because I'm just like, you know, what about Godzilla? What about Monkey Man? What about Little Bites? Like, if you're looking for, like, a movie with a really good monster that has, like, a, you know, good story about trauma and grief and some great special effects, you should.
And 70s vibes.
And 70s vibes.
If you like pinafores.
If you like,
John doesn't know what a pinafore is.
I don't. That's why I moved on. I'm just like, if you like Barbara Crampton. No, you should check out Spider-1 and Chrissy Fox's Little Bites. It came out earlier this year. It came out in October, which is always a problem. It's an avalanche of a month to come out in. But a good little indie movie.
What Godzilla are you talking about?
I'm talking about Godzilla X Kong. The movie
that was this year?
That was this year. Wow. We both wore our Godzilla and Kong shirts. We went and saw it in laser projected 3D. We had beers beforehand. Like, it was pretty fun. We got those D-box seats where they move. Every time somebody gets punched, you're like, oh, shit.
So we saw Dune 2 this year in D-box.
It was boring.
It was boring. But they did ride the sandworms, which was fun.
Yeah, it was not the thrilling experience.
That is my biggest discovery of the year is D-box and how much I value it for movies I'm a little concerned about.
That is
enjoying.
True. That has been Kim's move. I always know whether or not she wants
drunk
to see
in
a
D-box.
Movie. If she's like, get me that moving seat, bitch. I'm like, oh, I guess Kim doesn't want to watch this one. The problem is they offer you those moving seats in movies that you really don't need it. Like Dune 2. Dune 2 did not need
Dune
a moving
seat. Dune
1
would have been better in the moving seat than Dune 2.
There's so much talking.
And the seats are like, they're revving like a car who wants to do something.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no, another good year for movies, I say.
I mean, I say.
I say this every year. I mean, every year, every new year, every upcoming year is the best year for movies because, one, we don't know what they are yet. and two, new movies are what counts. Like, all I want is something new, and I hope in 2025 we get some new stories.
You're relentless, John.
I am. You know, like, and I just, I don't, I don't want prequels, I don't want requels, I don't want rehashes, I just want fresh ideas. And I just want to see more filmmakers and more studios allowing filmmakers to take bigger swings. And things are starting to get a little weirder, you know? Like, we are definitely seeing more swings. I would just like to see...
I'm going
to
add to that. I'm going to say not just that, but allowing stories to be fun again and silly.
Yes.
And weird and strange and not necessarily like a character going on this fucking emotional healing journey.
Yeah.
And discovering themselves.
We don't need metaphors anymore. We don't need trauma and grief.
Yeah. I just want to see, like, in Barbarian, I just want to see like a big titty monster who's trying to
get her to breastfeed.
Yes. Yeah. Like, sometimes you just want a big titty monster.
Yeah. When that movie ends on a gunshot and the needle drop for Be My Baby, like, goddamn, this is how we knew that we're like, movies are still alive, there's still hope for us yet.
Yeah. Oh man, I would take one new like Malignant type movie over 10 of everything that we get.
That's gonna do it for us. Those were our honorable mentions of 2024. We're actually gonna have some more picks over in the Nightmare on Film Street Fiend Club at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub or patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet, however you want to get there. There's links for it in the episode description here. We're going to be talking about our discoveries of 2024.
So not new, but new to us.
Exactly. Movies that, no release date specific, but movies we watched for the first time this year that we loved. Some of them we actually watched with the Fiend Club. There were some discoveries we all made together. I'm really excited to share some of those picks. And of course, thank you so much to everybody in 2024 who supported us, whether you were just listening to the podcast, sharing a silly meme on the internet, or picking up a copy of Cocktails from the Crypt. Thank you so much for everything you've done to support us here. We're looking forward to keeping you creepy in 2025.
And happy Christmas.
And yes, okay, so it is not the end of the year yet, but...
I'm like, how do I? Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Happy holidays, everybody. We'll be taking a little bit of a break after this. We're actually going to be taking a little bit of an extended break after this.
Yeah, we haven't done it in the 9 years that Nightmare on Film Street has existed.
Yeah, we've
and
been
I've had three surgeries this year, so yeah. I need a little nap.
This year was really challenging. It was we really pushed the limits
and
of
we
what
put
we
a
were
book
capable
out.
Of. We were putting out a podcast every single week. We were promoting and finishing and promoting a book. There's some other stuff that we're working on that we're not gonna necessarily talk about now. And then yeah, every once in a while you're like, I just like to enjoy my backyard, you know? There's no time for any of that if you've got all these balls in the air that you're continually juggling. So we're gonna be taking a little bit of a break. Recording some new episodes, taking our time on putting some of those episodes together.
Yeah, we're going to plan out the schedule real good, and we're going to have a lot of great themes and stuff coming ahead. So join us in the Discord. We'll keep you guys in the loop. We'll ask for your recommendations and your requests, because we're going to do like a whole strong season, and I'm super stoked for it.
Yeah, I'm excited to take a little bit of a breather, come back. And get into some of the really weird shit. I mean, I've got some movies, like, what this really means is that I've got extra time to convince Kim to finally talk about Life Force and every other kooky, dumb movie that Toby Hooper's made. Like, don't you want to do a movie about, a washing machine that kills people, the Mangler?
I mean, you're kind of selling me right now.
Oh, stay tuned, guys. We're going to be back for a new season of Nightmare on Film Street. We're going to be talking about only the craziest shit.
Can we do a genre? Of, let's just like appliances that fight back.
Yeah, as long as we can bookend it with Maximum Overdrive.
We've already done it. We can't do it again.
Well, we're gonna do it two more times to intro the season and outro the season.
But that's it from us this year. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Have a great holiday break. We will talk to you again in the new year. Join us on Discord.
Yeah.
Discord is the spot to be. NOFSpodcast.com/Discord or our Patreon Fiend Club at NOFSpodcast.com/Fiend Club. And we will hang out with you through the holiday break. But until next time, I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Do you like horror movies? Do you like cocktails? Do you like cocktails while you watch horror movies?
Oh boy, do we have a surprise for you. Cocktails from the Crypt is finally here. You can get a copy of our new recipe book, 60 Terrifying Concoctions, inspired by your favorite horror movies, right now, wherever books are sold.
Learn how to make the Drag Mai Tai to Hell, the Negroni Nomicon.
Surprise your friends with a Jason X-inspired slushie.
Get sloshed drinking a Texas Chainsaw Margarita, or six.
And why not blow your brains at the back of your head with the Killbot Kamikaze? Thank you. Have a nice day.
You can learn how to drink. You can. You can learn how to make these drinks and more in Cocktails from the Crypt, available wherever books are sold, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, this infomercial bit has been really fun, but seriously, one, thank you so much to everybody who has pre-ordered a copy of Cocktails from the Crypt. And if you are looking for a gift for the horror person in your life and you have no idea what else to get them, Cocktails from the Crypt is here to help them punch up every Friday movie night and turn it into a graveyard smash.
Plus, the cover's embossed and it looks great on your coffee table.
No, oh, Kim's still stuck in infomercial land, guys. I'm sorry. I think she's gone forever.
It's purple.
You can get Cocktails from the Crypt right now, wherever books are sold. Or you can head over to nofspodcast.com/go. There's links for everything.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.